Welcome to Beyond the OR with Dr. Kevin Brenner. I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills. I want to take you beyond my world of plastic surgery, diving deep into exciting hot topics and delving even deeper into compelling characters that I've met along the way. We'll be talking with attorneys, actors, comedy writers, Navy SEALs, and many other fascinating and inspiring people with truly intriguing stories to share. So let's jump right in. Welcome back to Beyond the OR. Today, I'm very excited to have in the studio with us, Marky Costello. You may recognize the name because she is the granddaughter of Lou Costello of the infamous duo Abbott and Costello, who I have been listening to since I was a kid. Marky grew up in Hollywood, but has forged her own path as a manager of talent and is a guru for talent management for hosts across all platforms, really, ABC, NBC, E! Entertainment Network. Most of the television you've been watching, she's probably coached those hosts. So really excited to have her with us today. Marky has her own management group, as well as a boot camp for training people to be TV hosts. So let's jump right in.
Let's jump.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We did it. Hollywood royalty.
Oh, so pleased to be here.
Well, so tell us, we're excited to have you, primarily because we want to know your backstory.
Oh, my backstory.
Yeah,
well, do you want to start like when I was born, December 17th, and how far back do we want to go?
Not that far back.
Okay. So I'll give you a little backstory of how. So I, my mother, who died at 48 of a brain aneurysm when I was 18 years old. But she worked for Mark Goodson and Bill Todman, who, and back in the
Did
day, were the biggest
big,
game shows.
Big production.
Big, right.
Oh, wow.
And so she had so many friends. So one day, Chuck Barris's office called and said, "Hey, Marky, you know, I'm so sorry about your mom. I loved her to death."
Wait, Chuck Barris,
yes.
Gong Show.
Yes.
Is that Gong?
Yeah. Dating Game, Newlywed, and Gong. That Chuck right. Barris, right?
Love
so
him.
Chuck said, "Come in and see me and let's talk about, you know, you working and what you want to do and this and that." So I went and met with Chuck and he says, "Look, Marky, we do a season of Dating Game, one day off, a season of Newlywed, one day off, and a season of Gong, one day off. It's 365. You're working literally with maybe 8 hours in a whole week off. You know, and this is back in the day. And, you know, but you'll find your juju and your rhythm of what you kind of dig in this whole world of production." Remember, I was 18 years old. So I started working with Nikki Trebek, Alex's daughter, and we did cue cards on Dating Game, I think was the first one. And when the contestant, when the audience would come in, the live audience, I'd always be like, "Hey, where are you two from? Oh, hey, Jill, you should meet Bob." And one day Chuck says, I was absolutely worst at cue cards. I mean, the worst. They'd be like, "Marky," and I'd be like, "Ah." So
writing them out or holding them up?
All of it.
Okay.
Right. You know, great job. Point was, one day Chuck says, "Get her off the gosh darn floor and put her up with the contestants. And I want Marky to be the last thing the contestants see before they walk on stage."
Okay.
So I basically, you know, in porn, they have a fluffer.
No, I don't.
So long story short, he says, "I want that Marky to be the last thing they see. And my job, literally, I would be like, 'You're going to go out there. You're going to kick some ass. You're going to this.'" I mean, I would just get them so hyped up.
You were the hype man.
I was the hype man.
But not for the audience, for the contestants.
For the contestants.
Awesome.
And then that just sort of parlayed. In the production world, it's very small. So I did that for about 2.5 years. Then I went to another show. I think I went to Love Connection. And then from Love Connection.
By the way, you're like reliving my childhood right now. I watched all these shows.
We'll be back in 2 and 2. Chuck Lorre. That's a little trivia. Okay. You know, your millennial crew is like, "Who the F are they talking about?
I don't know.
Can we say fuck here or no?
You can say whatever you want.
Because fuck is such a great word. It really
I love
is.
That
it,
word.
It packs a powerful punch. So then I
incidentally, totally unrelated and probably of no interest, but I know the person who bought Chuck Woolery's house from him on Coldwater Canyon.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Eric.
I'm not going to tell you.
Don't tell me. Is it a celebrity?
No.
No. And Eric Lieber was the executive producer, and he notoriously, he passed me, he rest in peace, but he was a notorious asshole. Like, you know, but my mother was married to Dean Martin's oldest son, Craig Martin. And Craig was the executive in charge of production for Love Connection, and him and Eric, the creator, were really good friends. But I always knew my job was to book the show. So that means they went on a date. And, you know, then after the date, they call the writers. And so let's say you two went on a date and they call, the writer says, Elizabeth, how was your date? And you're like, you know, it was okay. It was kind of boring. He was late. Well, that's not going to make good TV, right?
Right.
So then they call you.
I thought we had a great time.
Well, right. Then they call you and they're like, well, Elizabeth said you were kind of boring and a little cheap and, you know, just it wasn't
that
happening.
That all could be true.
And then all of a sudden you're like, well, F her, you know what? She was this, she was that, and I would never go out with her again. And then that okay date now goes to a bad date. My job was to book those dates for the day we shot. And, you know, it was scary in the sense where we would always have one backup couple, but how many people want to go on and be humiliated on TV? This is back in the day. Now everybody wants to go and be humiliated because they want their, they want, people go on The Bachelor now because they're guaranteed a million followers, right? So, cut to, I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, Love Connection. But I could always tell when Eric and Chuck were fighting because my job was to ask Chuck Woolery, the host, what would you want for dinner tonight? And then the runner would go get it. And when he was mad at Eric, he'd be like, Musso and Franks, I want a steak and a lobster. I was like, oh, things aren't going good here at the studio. Yeah, it's a bad day here when he wants lobster and steak.
Where was the studio?
Was Hollywood, it Hollywood and Vine.
So not too far.
Not too far, okay. Right.
I mean, he could have sent them like to Santa Monica.
No.
That would
he
have
wasn't
been
that big of a, yeah. So I went from Love Connection. I did so many shows in the unscripted world. I sort of followed in my mom's footsteps, but then I did something that was sort of legendary. As my dad says, I named you Marky because you were always ahead of your time. I started the first casting company that sort of was dedicated to the unscripted world. Because back in the day, you were in-house, you know, if you were, and so being the first company to not be in-house, you know, so that I could do 7 shows if I wanted instead of doing 1.
Right.
Like, you know, my company did the first season of The Bachelor. Sometimes I kick myself like, should I have stayed on that for 30 years and been now probably making billions of dollars as the casting person?
Why would you kick yourself for that decision?
I don't know.
I interviewed for one, I forget what season, maybe season 5?
Yeah.
Season?
Really?
Yeah. It was the Firestone season. How can I compete with Firestone?
You can't. And Lacey Pemberton, who's the casting director at that time, she knew my mom. Because my mom did the contestants on Card Sharks, if anybody remembers this.
I remember Card Sharks.
Card Sharks. And she was the pretty model that turned. And Bob Eubanks had called me one day and said, hey, Lacey's going through this divorce and needs a job. And we started working together, and she was just amazing. And so when the show became such a phenom, Mike said, I want you in-house. You're closing your management company. You have to close everything. You have to be in-house. And I just wasn't ready to give up on all of that. So I said, hey, I can't do that, but you can have Lacey, my partner, you know, my partner in crime and who I love and adore. And she's been casting The Bachelor for the last 86,000 years.
Wow.
You know, Mike recently got fired, you know, the creator for Me Too, I guess, or not. I don't think it was Me Too. I think it was more of diversity. I mean, let's get real. Now we're watching Love Island, and Chris Colan, my good friend, creates it and produces it. And, you know, we've seen now with contestants, back in the day when I did it, it was like no ugly prisoners. If you were casting a show about jail, no ugly prisoners, you know, meaning they always wanted the beautiful people. And I'm not saying that we're not doing that now, but now we're way more We're opening it to all types of bodies and sizes. And before, like, no, that we don't want them to have kids and you can be a single mom, which I think is better.
But there's also
it makes it more relatable, makes it more interesting. And I always say with casting, the sweet spot is the B story. So I started that company and my partner was my best friend from high school who came from a lot of money. And one day she says to me, hey, this whole work thing, I want to go to Europe and like F off for like 6 months.
Sounds nice.
And I was like, that sounds nice. I don't have that luxury. I have to pay bills and, you know, be accountable. So we kind of split ways and I went to my friend who had a big production company. I went in-house there with my casting company. And then I started to do more scripted stuff, not just unscripted. Unscripted meaning reality. Doing scripted stuff. And at that time, I put myself through a very prestigious acting school because this was when independent features weren't cool. This is where Disney gave like 10 up-and-coming directors a $1 million budget to do their film. And it wasn't cool. It was when indies were just starting. And like if they wanted Arnold Schwarzenegger, literally, I would send my intern, I'd say, go on one of those Hollywood tours, you know, and we put the script in a beautiful like logo that said Disney, this and that, and throw it over and hope like the housekeeper or the gardener grab it and somehow it lands on Arnold's desk. You know, that's how it was back in the day. But I went to a prestigious acting school to learn the language of the actor.
Not
to become an actress, even though I would have been brilliant. But I just like money and success too much and I couldn't take not working. Meaning in acting, highs, lows, lows, high. You know, you're busy, you're slow. And so, I learned to speak the language of an actor. So like if a Luke Wilson came in before he was Luke Wilson and he made the wrong choice, but it was a good choice, but it just wasn't the right choice for that scene, I could then say, Luke, that was great, but he's not that angry yet. Here's more of the arc and your character here. So I just was really great at teaching and sort of navigating. And so
acting class for you was actually turning you into a coach.
Well, yes. Right? Even when I studied with Sandy Meisner before he died and like Risa Braitman Garcia, huge casting director, studied with him. Michael Mann, the director, studied with him. Because once again, to speak the language of an actor, to be able to direct an actor, to, you know, it was important. So cut to then I got married. I had a 4-month baby. I'm teaching, I'm casting. And a friend of mine approaches me and says, have you ever thought about management, managing talent? And I just had a baby and I thought, God, managing a bunch of people's careers. It seems like babysitting seems like a lot of work.
You're already doing it. You might as well get paid for it.
Exactly. Next thing you know it, I open up this management company with this partner who I'm doing all the work, hustling, I'm casting, I'm coaching, I'm getting the breakdown, submitting. He'd be in there playing solitaire. This is back in the days of why we wonder why women need more equality.
This was CMEG.
This is CMEG.
Okay.
And so I basically, we had a line of, one day he approaches me and says, let's get a line of credit on the business. I'm like, why? We're doing fine. We're making enough money to pay our bills. Next thing I know, we get a $50,000 line of credit. He says, it's just good for business. It's just good to have. Well, he redid his bathroom with the $50,000 line of credit. And I want to say this to all women or people watching, listening. You know, your intuition. I woke up one morning and I said, I want to check the bank about that line of credit. Just something out of the blue. And I remember calling the bank and they said, oh, yeah, you're $37,000 into it. And I was like, and when I approached him, he was like, oh, that's a bank mistake. I'll handle it. 2 days later, now we're 40, like, and the next day it was all gone. And
you could have had $17,000.
Yeah. Well, my brain didn't even think like that. But my lawyer, my Abbott and Costello lawyer, was smart enough to use that to basically buy him out of the company and say, look, you're gone. It's her company. This 50 grand that you just stole illegally is going to be your payout of not being part of the company anymore.
So, Marky, where did your reality TV show, The Drama Queen, which I loved. I remember watching it. It was so good. How did that come about?
So that came about for years. You know, I had hosted a show called Decisions, Decisions. I'd hosted a lot. I would be doing a casting and the network would be there. And I would say to someone like, okay, let me show you how to do it. You're not doing this or this. And then the network would be like, just hire Markey. And I had three shows like that.
Incredible.
So I'm talking back in the 80s, you know, and so cut to Jeff Collins, who produced Dance Moms, good friend of mine, says, hey, let's do this show, The Drama Queen, kind of like Dance Moms, but with the industry. And I said, I don't know. I don't want to know if I want to be overly produced. I know so much about reality and, you know, not all, this might be a news flash to the whole world, but not all reality is real.
No.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
Wait a minute.
What? The fuck, right?
You mean that's not all natural?
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
30 women right. in a mansion right. with right. a guy?
Yeah. Not natural.
That didn't just happen?
This is just happening. Right.
And lots of alcohol and, for good TV.
But casting Gold. Reality, you know, it's a lot harder than casting, honestly, you know, scripted, theatrical. Because in reality, you're basically saying, hey, do you want to go away for 45 days and be put in a house with 30 women and we're going to test them for herpes, psychological evaluations? I mean, you know, going level 15 background checks, you know, you get hung up on, or guys would be like, hey, that sounds kind of cool. Women would be like, so it was a lot harder.
When I was approached by a casting director. Yeah. Actually, Elizabeth knows this story because he was a friend of mine. He was working on The Bachelor season, whatever. And he's like, you got it. This was obviously before I was married.
Right.
Okay. So I actually went to his office to do a screen test, an interview, and they handed me this packet.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's it. I'm out. I was like, fuck this.
You know, we had a great, our very first Bachelor that we all loved in the network, everybody signed, we lost him to herpes. He had herpes, you know, and so there, you can't put someone, you know, in a house with 30 women, and if they have sex and she gets herpes, well, they come back
so
and
funny,
see the network.
I would never even think of that.
Yeah. Oh, and we put them through psych. A lot of girls, after it became such a phenom, it's crazy. A lot of girls went through a big depression.
That wasn't why I was out, by the way. that segue.
I want to see medical
that
records.
That segue was very awkward.
Very awkward.
There is some HIPAA confidentiality here, right. But that's not the reason.
So cut to, I open the management company. I have my shitty partner. In the beginning, we had 20 actors, one host, two writers. And then you'd get the breakdowns. The breakdowns are with like what casting directors are looking for, and they send it out to agents and managers, and you pay for the service. And if there was like one role on 90210, you'd call, and the casting director would be like, okay, well, I have you and 20 million other submissions to go through. So I was like, okay. Then you'd see a host breakdown, and you'd call, and I'd be like, yeah, I have this great host. And they'd be like, sure, I'll see him Thursday at 11 a.m. And I was like, okay, where's he going? Is there size? And I realized, like, wait a minute.
Is there's a little
something
bit easier
to
niche?
This, right? A year later, 20 hosts, two actors, and one writer. And people said to me, it's too niche. You'll never survive. Not only did I survive, I thrived. And how media coaching, because I did the acting and I trained, it just was a natural no-brainer. I mean, I've coached people like Carly Klaus, Eric Andre, Alex Rodriguez, Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race.
John Cena.
I mean, there's so many. I mean, it's crazy. People will hit me up because as you get older.
So people who are hosting like as a second career, why would you ever do that?
Big names. And, you know, people will say to me, well, why would someone like was a big name have to get media training?
Because it's a different gig.
First of all, it's a completely different ball game. You know, in acting, it's like, hey, here's this role, and this is the role you're playing. In hosting, we're asking you to be you. and to be the most authentic you you can be. But once again, there's a fine line. We don't want it all about you, but we want to know who we're giving a half hour of our time to, you know.
45 minutes.
Or 45 minutes or 46, depending if it's an hour, or half hour with commercials. I got your number. you know, learning how to interview. I taught a boot camp two weeks ago. And I did a one day. It was a crazy great day. I had this like psychic guy with a dog, and that was bizarre. But this girl goes through the whole boot camp. She writes me the next day and she says to me, you know, and I feel terrible saying this because I'm never late. Today I was late. I'm such a stickler for time, but it's my new assistant. It's all Demarius's fault. But cut to, she writes me this email and she says, you know, you were 6 minutes late. And I want my money back. And you played favorites. You liked other people over other people. And I want my money back. And, you know, I said I could go left or right with my response. And so I went in the middle. And I said to her, if you go to a movie and you don't like it, do you go and ask for your money back? If you go to an Italian restaurant, do you order a nice spaghetti bolognese and garlic bread and wipe your plate clean with that garlic bread and then say, you know what, not feeling it so much now that I'm so full, want my money back? I said, you stayed the whole day, participated in every exercise. You know, then she said later, I just didn't realize it was hard to be a host. She goes, I tried acting.
That's why she wanted her money back?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Right.
Well, and also,
but
Marky,
that's the new generation too. But
do you know I've had?
It's a new world.
Totally different thing. I've had patients come in.
I'll do a full
consultation with them.
Right.
Go through the whole thing. Don't like what my recommendation is, and then ask my staff for their consult feedback. And which was probably a lot less than your boot camp.
And the point is, it's like, well. And they tell you on the phone, the consult, FYI, if you choose to get the surgery, goes towards the surgery, I'm assuming.
True.
You know, if not, but you're taking the doctor's time. Time is money, knuckleheads.
And your time. Right.
We're living in this world now. I don't know if it's millennials, the generation. I don't know if it's because of social media, the entitlement. But it's just a very bizarre time now with entitlement, you know, or, you know. But I want to flip this.
But I want to ask you something, Marky, because don't you think that right now, because of social media, right, everybody has 15 seconds. And they think they do 15 seconds of something they've practiced a million times at home. And then they think, oh, I could be a host, right? So then they come to your class, and your class is a boot camp. I've taken it. It's amazing. And you're working. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, wait a minute. So I think it has almost like affected the integrity of what it really is to be a host.
I think she realized, holy shit, there's a lot of work
goes
into being really good. And, you know, she didn't want to do the work. She just thought, oh, yeah, I'll take a class. I'll start hosting tomorrow. I'll start making money, like not realizing
it doesn't work like that.
That's the case with any profession.
Any profession.
You have to put in the time.
You have to work.
People only see the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
They don't see.
And especially in this
30
town.
Years before.
No.
They don't.
And in this town, they think they give away sitcoms, you know, in the gas station, and they don't. Now, I want to ask you a question because, you know, Kylie Jenner recently came out about this. Everybody, Blac Chyna, all of these women are talking about how.
I was on the show with Blac Chyna.
You were?
On Hulu, on Impact.
Oh, I watched it.
On Nightline.
That was you.
Yes.
So, okay.
This is like a Kaiser Sosa moment.
Totally. Work with me here. Yeah. So I want to ask you a question. Why are we seeing this trend of is BII breast implant illness real?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
I believe so, yeah.
I always thought, no offense. I mean, luckily I've always had like, you know, and this is a little push-up bra. Can I touch my boobs on here?
Yeah. I mean, it's not network. I'm going to be honest with you. Most people are going to be listening to this. So,
okay.
As opposed to watching.
Well, I'm touching my boobs.
Now you guys have to go to YouTube.
I'm fondling. Go to YouTube. I'm showing full nipple and it's fabulous. And a vagina shot. Okay. So, but, you know, I mean, I thought Chyna looked amazing. Like,
right.
Because when I grew up in, you know, in the 80s, when I was 20, guess what? It was the Jane Fonda body. It was like no ass, being stick skinny. You know what I mean?
Right. And that, well, and that evolved.
And that evolved.
And that changed. And then it changed again, kind of early 2000s. And then now this is a whole different.
So are we seeing this? Because I've been coaching a lot of girls in Hollywood. And I don't want to mention one. So her mom's a big reality star. And her daughter just had a bunch of work done. And now they overfilled her face. And now
happens all the time.
Happens all the time. But why? I thought fillers now aren't good. They will land in weird places. Is that true? False?
That's a whole nother story. Topic. But yeah, so you're talking about fillers for the face. The number one being hyaluronic acid fillers, and there's a couple different companies that make them, and there's a couple different types within each one.
Right.
But. And I inject filler.
Right.
I inject it very modestly because I think that there's a lot of people, doctors, nurses, whoever, who inject too much. And I think that they inject too much either because they think it looks good or because you're getting paid per cc syringe.
Right.
I don't want my patients walking around looking crazy.
Right.
I think in moderation, it can work for some people.
Right.
I actually have moved more toward the fat grafting camp for facial fillers because it's your own fat and it's much more natural.
And PRP.
And PRP, yeah.
What's PRP?
Platelet-rich plasma where take some blood out, spin it down, get rid of the red blood cells and just do the platelet serum.
Fabulous. It sounds like you're cutting edge and a little ahead of the game.
He is. Maybe. And I'll tell you, especially, I got to say, BII is a real thing.
Right.
I had it. Okay. I had my implants removed and Dr. Brenner took them out.
Right.
And I was extremely sick, Marky. I was in and out of the hospital with acute pancreatitis.
And they had no idea what was wrong with you.
They couldn't figure it out. Right. They said I had an autoimmune disease.
Right.
It was horrific.
Right.
I kept reading and reading and reading. I would get weird rashes all over my body. I am not even a quarter of the person that I am today because of Dr. Brenner.
Right.
Dr. Brenner is on the cutting edge of BII. He's also doing...
tell me, what am I doing?
Yeah. he's also, you know...
Wait, I think Dr. Brenner has a hickey. I digress, but I'm happy that you and your wife, it's good because I see a little hickey right
now. Wow.
Yeah.
That must have happened while I was sleeping.
Elizabeth, so you... And being women, they probably think she's overreacting. She's
Yes.
And so who finally discovered? Was it Dr. Brenner that
Dr. Brenner, because also Dr. Brenner is taking what's it called?
Where
you're reporting. You're getting the reports.
Oh, taking data, symptom data. Yeah. So I've been collecting for about 2 years. I've been collecting subjective symptom data from my patients. Like, what symptoms are you having and how severe are they?
Right.
Numerically.
Right.
And tracking that. So, we've been tracking that. Also, this wasn't supposed to be a BII episode.
I know. No, it's not, but we're going to get back to
But to answer your question, yeah, I mean, I do think it's real and it really has morphed my practice because I'm just getting inundated with patients and
who
are really sick. Like legitimately, some patients are completely debilitated. I mean, completely debilitated. For instance, I had, and this is totally unrelated, but I had last week, I operated on a gal who had breast cancer reconstruction up in Montana, became sick as a dog over the next like 2-3 years and just needed them out. And she's now 10 days out and she's a different human being.
She immediately feels like
It's like the next day. It was like her head had been in a freezer for three years and she couldn't think and process and couldn't take care of her kids. And her husband, who is a really interesting couple, he's Special Forces, was a little bird pilot. We're going to have him on the show.
Actually. Oh, wow.
They have a foundation for Special Forces vets and stuff. But like he and his son lost their wife and mom. She was there physically, but not there. Like she just couldn't. She was fatigued beyond. Like you couldn't lift her head off the table.
Right.
Couldn't do anything. And a week later, she's having like full blown animated conversations with us in the office. And I'm like, who is this?
Right.
Yeah. And that happens a lot. I mean, it's that's not everyone's story, but it happens a lot.
But also, really quickly, Is it also, what about the butt implants? Is it the same sort of, like, I mean, if you're going to some Atlanta hotel room and they're putting, like, you know,
fix
oil,
a flat. Like, I did yeah. a piece on that on CNN yeah. years ago, but fix a, people who died
yeah.
because some idiot was injecting
right.
basically cement
right yeah. in their ass. Yeah,
that'll,
right,
that'll like, kill you.
Right, that'll kill you.
So yeah, I mean, I think it's an immunologic response, right? You have this foreign body, and your body's reacting to it. We know that there's an immunologic response.
Right.
It's sort of, but it's a dysregulated right. immunologic response, and yeah, it can happen with butt implants. There's just, you know, proportionately, there's 300,000-400,000 breast implants put in every year between
right.
cosmetic and reconstruction. So just on a sheer numbers game, there's way more breast implants than there are butt implants or chin implants or facial implants. But it can happen with any implant, I believe. I've seen it with hernia mesh.
I think what we're seeing when you talk about, you know, butt implants and hernia mesh and, you know, scar tissue and, you know, BII, but I think we're starting to see, especially because of social media, I think we're starting to share our stories and we're realizing we're not alone, but we're also realizing now you don't have to be a size zero to be a hero. Like, look, I go to the gym 4 days a week. I do not eat any. I'm like a vegan, like a freak about, I will never eat a piece of chicken, a dirty bird. It's disgusting. Like I have Sicilian, Italian, peasant, I say, body type. Now, I've been skinnier than I am now, but in your 50s, it's a lot harder. Once you hit menopause, forget about it. Your metabolism slows right. to a crawl. But my point is, I think we're now just accepting that everybody doesn't have to be a size zero. And as long as you're living a healthy lifestyle, more importantly, that you're happy. Like for me, sure, would I love to get rid of my belly and like liposuction it all out? But more importantly to me is, no, my eyes would make me feel better because it's my face and my self-esteem, right?
Right.
So when girls come to me and they say, do you think I'd work more if I had my boobs done? I say, absolutely not. I don't think you're going to work more just because you had your boobs done. You know, I don't think you have to look like everybody else. And I do think social media has helped
change that
sense.
Conversation.
It's changed the conversation
well, yes.
in a good way where
yes.
we can accept ourselves.
I think social media cuts both ways.
Right.
Yes. I think there's a lot of misconceptions because of it. But yes, in terms of how we originally got to this, talking about breast implant illness.
Right.
Yes, in the last 5 years, I believe Facebook groups, Instagram, TikTok, that has been what has connected women, not because women couldn't speak out, but people weren't listening
right.
to one,
right.
but they're listening to all of them, and they all are sharing the same stories, and they're all very similar. I mean, that's how it hit to me. I'm like, you know, you see one, and you're like, okay, well, maybe that's nothing. But you see 500 women with very similar stories. You're like, this can't be coincidental.
Right.
It's not in their head.
No.
And one of the Facebook groups has over 170, there's 250 private Facebook
right.
groups about breast implant illness.
Right.
And one of them has over 175,000 women on it.
I have said for the last, I don't know, 8 years, people are not using social media right. The power of social media. If you went to a corporation and said, hey, stop fucking your employees when it comes to ABC, Target, stop. You're screwing them. You're not giving them insurance. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. So if everybody went on social media and said, hashtag, we're not shopping at Target for 48 hours, well, Target would change everything because if everybody in the world didn't shop at Target for 48 hours, they would lose billions in that 48 hours, right?
Right.
But people haven't figured out the power of social media yet. They have in the sense where
wow.
the Me Too, as far as, hey, Me Too, I've had breast implants and I have felt sick. You know, Me Too wasn't just for Harvey and women. It was finally a moment where women could share their story and go, I'm not alone.
Right.
Oh my God, there's others out there. And that's how hashtag Me Too started. But Me Too could be with a lot of things in the sense where we can share our stories to really connect and also hold big pharma and corporations accountable. Why should a diabetic be spending $2,000 a month on insulin? You know,
it's insane. Well, this is a whole, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to do a whole show on and health insurance because.
And health insurance.
But the health insurance comes in, the money for the insulin for the diabetic is because of their health insurance coverage.
Right.
Big pharma is a problem, but insurance companies are a problem. It's not regulated. Everything else in this country is regulated. Right. Insurance companies get away with murder.
All right, now take it wherever you want to.
Okay, I want to hit this with your boot camp teaches people how to use their social media. You teach them branding. You teach them how to host. But above all, it's a whole full circle that you teach
100%.
Them. So what can people expect at Become a Host is the name of the boot camp, correct?
Yes. Marky Costello, it's Become a Host. You want to always be Googleable for your brand. Right? Like, so when people go, my brand is my name, I'm like, so if I Google your name, what's going to come up? Oh, a bunch of nudie pictures and your brand is guys jerking off to you. Cool. But that's only going to last for 5 years because there'll be hotter chicks coming in after you. Right?
Kim Kardashian got more than a couple of years.
Well, but she's evolved it. Now she's high fashion. Now she's this. Now she's
that.
She
added being a lawyer.
She added being a lawyer. You have to constantly, like Joan Rivers said it best. Every 5 years, you have to reinvent yourself. So what I teach people is, and it's really changed in social media because if they have 5 million followers, you know what they think? I don't need your training. Well, you know what? I could turn your 5 million into 50 million. Because when you're like, today we're being sponsored by Aquafina. Like, I've seen this kind of stuff on social media and I'm like, they take so long to get to the point where I'm just like, F you at this point. I've clicked out because they don't get that the audience is truly the star. So what I teach and what you're going to get in my boot camp, branding, number one. Why you? What's your brand? What's your launching off place? And let's give it a name so it's not your name so that you're Googleable. Then let's teach you how to have cadence and tonality in your voice so you don't sound monotone and boring and people are like, You're going to learn about transitioning, teleprompter, branding, how to sell your brand to make money. You could be a micro-influencer with 30,000 followers. I have a client, 30,000 followers, an amazing brand. Her whole brand is... She's from Compton, the little Latina that's into female athletes. And she might make in a month 50 grand from a Dos Equis campaign that she's doing on social media. Wayfair might hire her for so people are making so much money on social media if you build your brand right, if you're consistent with your brand, if you know who your audience is. And that's really what I teach is, who is your audience? Why you? If I came to watch your show, what do I get? You know, because I have so many choices now, whether I'm on a K-hole on TikTok, Instagram, or should I got to catch up on these 8 episodes that just dropped on Netflix? Oh, plus I have a job, a kid, a life. So if I pick you and your show, you better pick me. And when I mean pick me, know who your viewer is. Because the minute you know who your viewer is and you give them value, this is my biggest pet peeve. Kim Kardashian does it all the time. I hate it. Hey, guys. What's up, guys? Okay, guys. I guarantee you her audience is maybe 25% guys. And out of that 25%, 22% are gay. The rest are women. So stop saying, hey, guys. Come up with hey, my beauties. Hey, lovelies. Hey, whatever it may be. Make that intimate connection. Do you know why Lady Gaga is so successful?
Because she has a good voice and is talented.
Besides that she actually can sing and play the piano and she has a talent, she puts her audience first. I remember being in New York at 30 Rock and I said to the security guard, who are all these people? They're like wraps and wraps around the people in the city. They're like, they're going to be here. They're waiting to get tickets for SNL for Lady Gaga. I said, today's Monday. So they're waiting 6 days. And yeah. And you want to know why? I talked to her publicist, and her publicist said, when she's going to break up with her boyfriend, she lets her fans know first. Like, you know, she knows the value. If she didn't have those fans, right, she'd have no career. So when you realize that the audience is the star and you could pinpoint and hone who your audience is, that's when you become the star.
Well, I mean, I've always said that. I wouldn't have a career were it not for my patients.
Absolutely. And if you did shitty work, you really wouldn't have a career, because that's your calling card. If they go, Marky, what the fuck happened to you? Dr. Brenner happened to me, you know? Or when they look at you and go, why do you look rested? Why do you, something's different? Dr. Brenner gave me a 30-hour nap and it was great, you know, and did my eyes, you know? Like, because no, I'm not one of those
true.
People
it's
that...
It's true. I mean, yeah. I completely agree with you. I mean, Elizabeth knows because she's been through it, but like, my patients are it. I mean, I'm very much involved.
So, what do you call your brand? What's your show?
This show?
Yeah.
Beyond the OR.
Beyond the OR. Okay. And what platforms do you house it on?
Just about everyone.
So, you'll have like a longer version on YouTube, maybe?
We have the full video on YouTube.
Full video on YouTube.
And then we have audio on Apple. Spotify,
iHeart. So I can be in my car. You have like the podcast, yeah, the audio. Okay, got it. And then what are you putting out on social?
Well, clips.
Yeah.
Like the best clips of, you know, because we live in a society of sound bites,
absolutely,
right? So everybody's got 15 seconds. That's
right.
All you got.
Right.
So sound bites.
Right.
So, and that's something I learned in your class.
Right.
So,
I teach you what a sound bite is. I teach you how to piggyback. I
yes.
teach you how to interview. I teach you how to read a teleprompter. I teach you words like and, or but are really important words in hosting and not words you should swallow and throw away. Those are your transition words.
And...
You know? And
you teach how to listen.
Exactly. Because if you're not listening, you're not present. And if you're not present, you're not going to receive the presence.
What did you say? I'm kidding.
You know, and there was a great story, and I think I'll tell it really quickly. George Clooney, America's Most Eligible Bachelor, was going to this big event, and he had said to his publicist, and he's a joker, he said, tonight I'm going to drop little seeds and see who's listening and who picks up the seeds. I'm going to announce that I'm engaged. And that's a scoop of a lifetime for a reporter,
yes,
for a network.
It can make
right?
your career.
It can make a career. So he gets to the first one and they're not listening, gets to the second one, still nothing, and he's dropping little seeds. He finally gets to the third outlet, and the girl says, George, what's your routine like on a big night like tonight? And he goes, you know, I like to do something to get the endorphins, work out a little bit, hop in my steam. I love a good steam sauna jacuzzi, swim. But today I had to go into Beverly Hills to get my nose and my ear hairs. Yes, not sexy, but even America's Sexiest Man has to get cleaned up and trimmed up. But afterwards, I went around the corner and I did something a little differently. I took some shots with some of my homies to celebrate. But then I got home and my stylist, I only wear Armani, had Hugo Boss, and it really threw me for a loop tonight. Now, what do you think that interviewer asked him next?
About the celebration?
That's what she should have, right? Because that's what we at home, ears,
yes,
blink. So we all heard that at home, and that's what we wanted to know. What the fuck is he celebrating? She says, Hugo Boss, so you're not wearing Armani tonight? And
missed opportunity.
Well, she got fired. And in the old days, they wouldn't have fired you. They would have smacked your hand. But the executive producer said, in this day and age, we can't afford to lose a scoop like that.
Right.
That would trend from LA to Tokyo in 10 minutes. You have to be very present. You have to be a great,
yes,
listener, because ears don't blink. If we heard it at home and you didn't hear it, and then we're now Googling it. And now it makes us mad at you because why I have to Google it because he didn't hear
you're
what
you're not
the
paying
fuck,
attention.
You're not paying attention. And this is what these YouTubers and bloggers don't understand. Bravo on your 5 million fans. Bravo on your 20 million followers. You want to be 100 million? Do you want to have more? Do you want to have more opportunities? Then learn the effing craft.
Yes, agreed.
Agreed.
And that's what you will learn from me. I mean, at the end of the day, no one has ever gone through my boot camp and not come out going, mind blown. Wow, I didn't know this. I forgot about this. Now I understand this. I mean, and then once you...
And you're actually working. You're actually working. You're up on your feet and you're doing
it. The whole time.
Yes.
And you can attest to that. Once you've taken my boot camp, you can email me, contact me, call me. Like, we now have a relationship. Hey, Marky, will you look at my new reel? Hey, Marky, I'm thinking about doing this. Hey, Marky... And I am there for them.
Your mentor. It's like a mentor.
Yes. Is it a one-day boot camp?
I do a one-day and a two-day. Okay. I'm going to be, and I do a lot of network. So I just got hired for Headspace. Headspace Network, all about meditation, all about, you know, inspirational. So they bring me in and they'll have me work with their four or five hosts for 6 or 7 hours. I'm doing another brand new startup company in New York in a month. So I'll go out and I'll coach their 8 hosts, you know. And that's hard to do.
You do privates also.
I do private coaching, networks, production companies. You know, when Carly Kloss got Project Runway, first thing Scooter Braun, her manager, did was media coaching. And the smart people that make money, the smarties of the world, that Alex Rodriguez, when he was doing a CNBC show, he goes, Marky, I'm going on the Today Show. I haven't been a guest on the Today Show in a long time. He goes, I have one issue. When they all start talking over each other, it's hard for me. Can you give me a tip? Can we work sort of on that? And we worked on it and bada bing. He did great. And the next thing you know, he's hosting a CNBC show. The Alex Rodriguez's, the Carly Klaus's, the people that are smart and that are already succeeding understand the power. Knowledge is power and training is powerful. It's the numbnuts with big egos that think, I don't need it.
No, I'm with you.
Right.
Yeah, I fortunately married someone very smart who has a background in publicity and entertainment marketing
right.
and media coaching.
Right.
So she's been media coaching me every day since we got married.
Let's see how she's done. Let's see how she's done. All right, so now I'm going to have you interview me. And I'm going to have you ask me something we haven't talked about. And let me see where your interviewing skills are. Yes, I'm giving you that look.
Haven't we been doing that for the last hour?
We have, but now I'm going to grade you.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You can start whenever you'd like.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, we're still going.
So here we go.
All right.
Oh. This is what we're doing.
So, Marky, why are you on our show today?
Oh, tell you about myself and why I'm on your show. Well, there's a lot to cover, Doc. I'm on your show today because first and foremost, I wanted to meet you. I'm a big fan. Actually, I really did.
I'm a big fan of yours, and that's why we invited you.
I did love you on Impact, and I absolutely remember you, honestly. I loved how they did the lighting because it was black. You were in front of black instead of green screen. Well, maybe it was green, but they changed it black. But I liked what you had to say about plastic surgery because you would think most plastic surgeons would be like, that's ridiculous, that's this, that's that.
Most plastic surgeons do say that.
Right. And I liked the fact that you were authentic and honest.
Thank you. I agree. I am.
Now, media training, thank you. I agree. Don't mind it. But then your next question should come off something I just said. You only really, when you're interviewing, you come up with that first question. And from there, let it all go, knowing where do I want this interview to go for my audience. And I'll stay present and I'll get my next present by the next question based on something she just said. That's what also keeps it fluid and is a soundbite. So if I said to you, did you watch the Laker game last night?
I did watch the Laker game last night. What did you do last night?
Okay, so... Now, you could have said, did I watch the Laker game last night? I absolutely did. I loved it. Did you watch it? Boom. Now it's a fluid soundbite, which you pretty much did. Meaning, or if you would have just said, yep.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Then a lot of people do that.
I know they do.
And I was explaining this to my assistant the other day because he did a red carpet. And I said, honey, you have to constantly remind the audience where they are, you know?
The one who made you late today?
The one that made me late today. The one that we're going to kick his ass.
You're getting it.
Right. And I said to him, I said, right, I was watching the videos you sent me. I said, you didn't open in the beginning, but never again. So meaning my point is you could say like, hey, we're at the Grammys and I am so excited. I'm in Chanel head to toe. My Dr. Brenner is going to be my co-host. We're going to be talking about not just what people are wearing, but what's going on with filler, boobs, butts, and all the other stuff that no one ever talks about. Actually, that's a really good segment and we should pitch it immediately, your publicist's wife. But my point is that because no one's ever done it, and it would be interesting.
Plastic surgery on the red carpet.
Yeah, but just to go like, I think, like if she...
Who injected you?
No.
Instead of what are you wearing?
No, I think her filler... No, you would have someone talking about what they're wearing, right? You'd have a movie expert saying she's been nominated 11 times. She's never won. Hopefully tonight will be her night. You have someone saying, like, I love her Balenciaga dress. It was actually handmade for her, this and that. And then Dr. Brenner says, and I love the fact that, like, at 70 years old, you know, she hasn't pulled her face back to it's unrecognizable. I love the fact that she probably has just a little filler. I'm not her doctor, so I can't say for sure. But I love whatever she's doing to age gracefully in Hollywood, which is hard for women, she's doing a great job.
You're right.
That's a good segment.
You're right about that because the weeklies do that.
Yes, they do.
All the time.
And I'm always...
And it's like, you're like, well, why are they quoting this guy about this person?
Right. That's a really great segment.
Well, did she have her nose done? Didn't she have her nose done?
What did you think about what Kylie Jenner has been recently saying? Now piggyback.
I don't know. Tell me what Kylie Jenner has been recently saying.
Perfect. So that was good, right? Like if you would have said,
I legitimately don't know what Kylie Jenner.
But if you would have like been like, I don't know, it's not attached to anything. So a fluid soundbite would be like, I don't know what has Kylie Jenner been saying.
That's what I just said.
That's why I'm giving you the
prompt. So you passed the test. Yes. Hello.
Your wife, the props.
Win for the team.
A win for the team. But I'm serious. Okay. So what Kylie recently came out to say, now that she has, you know, her daughter and her son, she's like, am I setting the wrong precedent to say if my daughter came to me and said at 16 or 17, like girls are getting for their sweet 16 boobs and asses. Hey, mom, I want new...
Not my girls.
Not your girls, right. And if I have boys, if my girls ever, I would be like, absolutely not. But if... So what Kylie basically said was, if my daughter Stormy came to me and said, mom, I want to get my nose done, I want to get my boobs done, I want to get... And if I said no, and if she said, well, you did...
Exactly.
That
reminds me of the commercial growing up. You'll remember this.
Because, which one?
Because you reminded me of all the game shows that I used to watch. It was the one. It was like a Just Say No campaign about a dad smoking marijuana, which was back in the 80s. That was really taboo.
Right.
It's your brain on drugs.
Right.
And so like the dad walks into the room and the teenage boy is like smoking a joint. Right. He's like, where did you learn to smoke marijuana? I learned it from you, Dad.
Oh my God.
Never forget that.
Now, we have to wrap this up.
Okay,
Marky,
I know. We could talk for hours.
I know.
I think there's a show here with, like, you know, with the beauty, the brains, the producing, the branding.
Beauty, the brand.
And the Jubin.
Okay, no, branding, beauty. And I want something that with the beast. No, you're the beauty. Like beauty.
Branding, beauty.
But with Miss Morales, like something that like encompasses like everything that she is. I loved that video you posted with the wine and drink.
Quiche.
Like, I love. Like, that was one of my favorites. But something about like. But with a B, and I want to think about that because I think it could be really engaging, enlightening, and educational to say, hey, if you're just starting out, if you really want to do this, like, you know, let's talk about the physicality, you know, what you look like. Don't go and get $200,000 of work done. You know what I mean? Let's talk about, do you have even a chance of succeeding? Like, because we're now so oversaturated, it's 2020, 2023, whatever year it is, but
Yeah. It's still 2023. It's been a long interview.
Maybe, you know what it is? Maybe people come in for a consult.
Right.
And we sort of consult them on all aspects.
Oh, brand, I love that.
Business, beauty, brand.
Ooh.
Branding, business, and beauty.
I love that.
The three B's.
You know, yes.
Oh. Triple B, like triple, double D's. We do double B's.
I'm triple B's.
Yeah.
Which one of you guys, are you going to arm wrestle over who produces it?
We're going to produce it together.
Yeah.
And I have so many great people that we could book, honestly.
Awesome.
And
let's do it.
It could be awesome, seriously.
Jay, do we have the studio for a couple more hours?
Okay. Wait, Marky.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, whoa.
Okay.
Wow, jumping
so,
the gun.
Marky, really quick.
Where can they find me?
Before that, Dr. Brenner has a question that he asks all his guests.
Yes. Okay.
So this
is going to take maybe a little bit of thought for you.
Okay.
Just because of where, of your genesis story.
Okay. Had
you not gone into entertainment, casting, coaching, marketing, what do you think you would have done with your life?
If I hadn't gone into entertainment, what would I have done with my life? I would have been a professional race car driver, no bullshit.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I love to drive. I'm a fast driver. I'm a great driver. I can get to, I can tell that person's not going to stop this, that. I love driving. I would be a professional race car driver.
You are a driver.
Yeah, that's what I would be.
You're the driver.
Drive here today?
I had a driver.
Oh, my God.
I had a driver, but if I was driving,
I would have been here early.
Only 3 minutes late. But I think I would have been a professional race car driver. Honestly.
I love that.
You and
Danica Patrick.
Yeah. I would have been before her. So I would have been the first. Now, if you want to find me, you can go to Become a Host at Become a Host on Instagram. You can go to my website at Become a Host, or we don't say at for a website. Does anybody even use a website?
You don't use the www.
No, we don't say. Okay, yeah. Become a Host.
Like
Google Become a Host. My management company is C, and all the celebrities don't want their blue checks anymore.
Yeah.
They think it's cooler to be unverified, to be verified. It's funny, like, I've been verified on Twitter for 9 years when all of the, I have legitimate press, but they emailed me and they're like, oh, do you want to pay to, like, you know, get your check? And I was like, can I think about it? They're like, you have to the end of the month. But, you know, because it's, once again, is that a sign of the times? It's a very interesting conversation. Like,
well, they're trying to make money any which way they can.
Of course they can. Yeah. But it's taken away what it was meant to be. And
people are pushing back.
People are pushing back to go, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, you already sell our information and make so much money. A tech guy told me anything that's free, they're making money elsewhere by selling all your shit.
It's true.
But my point is, you've been a pleasure. I adore and love you.
I love you, Marky.
You know, my life has been so crazy from the studio, and that's why I would sign you in a minute. I just haven't signed anybody yet because I'm too afraid without having my studio.
I told him, Marky.
You need my permission to sign her.
A force.
I'm a force to be reckoned with.
You can't sign her without, no. Because then I'm going to be like interviewing someone, look over, empty chair. I'm going to have Jay come sit in.
We are. Well, Jay would be fabulous. Now, really quickly, to the main camera. Can we just get it so we have it documented right now?
Yes, documented.
That Dr. Brenner is going to do my upper eyelids, and we are going to film it, and we're going to show you the before and after on his, what you should be doing that costly, because people love
that
a reveal.
That was not what I thought we were talking about.
Yes, and he has now...
I didn't, I'm not, this is not what this handshake means.
25% discount.
You gotta pay her to show up on
the air. That's how you make deals in Hollywood, motherfuckers.
And that's a wrap.
Room tones. I hope you had fun.
Thanks so much for listening to Beyond the OR with Dr. Brenner. Make sure to subscribe, like, and follow so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, hit me up on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Kevin Brenner MD and KevinBrennerMD.com.